Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com, our vicarious God and vicarious people. It's a 2023 Bible reading plan. We're reading together, and it's June 16th through 23. We're reading 2 Kings, which takes about 2 hours and 6 minutes, so it's going to take the full 20 minutes every day, but you can do it. There's a whole lot of stuff in 2 Kings, so let's not waste any time, and let's just get right into it. Listen to the things in here. It's chapter 1. You know, we have Elijah just kicking everything off. And you have Elijah calling down fire upon kings, upon a military of 50. So if you read the New Testament, and the disciples came back and asked Jesus if they should call down fire. And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you are. That's probably what they're referencing here. You have to chapter 2, Elijah taken to heaven. You know, it's probably the second rapture. Enoch being the first rapture, he was here, then he was taken. And then Elijah going up in a chariot of fire. And at the end of chapter 2, you have Elisha. Elisha was bald-headed, and some boys are making fun of him, and God sends out some bears to maul the boys. So, an interesting story. Chapter 3 is talking about Moab. Chapter 4 is Elisha and the widow's oil. You know, she had her husband had passed away, and they were in debt, and they were coming to take her and children and, you know, into debt, you know, prison. And so Elisha says, go get as many empty vessels as you can and fill them with oil, and you have enough to get through this famine that they were going through. And it continues in chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman. And then how this woman made room for Elisha in her upper room. And then she had a son. And have you ever heard, you know, the song, All Is Well With My Soul? This probably comes from this, you know, chapter 4 here, because her son dies, and so she's headed off to go see the prophet, and people are asking her, is everything okay? And she goes, all is well with my soul. Then you find out, still in chapter 4, somebody goes picks the wrong kind of plant and puts it in their soup, and they think they're going to die, and Elisha puts something in there that inoculates it or fixes it, and nobody gets sick. So there's a lot of things in chapter 4. Chapter 5, you know, we talked about that Syrian officer who comes to Israel looking to be healed from leprosy. And the king, you know, gets all unsettled and thinks this is, you know, they're trying to start a war with them. But Elisha, you know, knows better than that and says, yeah, there's somebody that can heal you. And tells him to go dip 7 times. And, this general kind of gets upset. I mean, he's high place up. You don't tell somebody like that to go dip in a dirty river, but he does it anyway and gets healed. And this is also prosperity gospel gone wrong with Gehazi. And he receives the leprosy because he desired money more than obedience. Chapter 6, find out that somebody loses their Home Depot axe and, you know, in the water. And there's another miracle. So read about that. Chapter 6. Have you ever heard about this? Do not be afraid for those who are with us or are more than or that are with them. Have you ever heard that statement in church? This is where it comes from. Chapter 6, where somebody's eyes are open so they may see that there really is more for them than against them. Chapter 7, Elisha promises, you know, promising food. Said there's going to be he gave a prophecy there's going to be the famine is going to be over. There's going to be a lot of food. And this is also where three people that were sick, that had leprosy, they were going, you know what, we're going to die sitting here, so we might as well go to Syria and find out if maybe they'll give us something to eat so we can live. So they go over there and found out that God had frightened all of them away. And so they started eating the food and had everything they need. And then they finally tell the king. And so read chapter 7. There's a lot of interesting things in there. Chapter 8, a woman who left during the famine to go somewhere else where there was something she could eat. She came back and received her land back. Chapter 9, Jehu's anointed king of Israel. One bloody king. He did God's will, but man, he took care of Ahab's house. He took care of a lot of people. You know, he executes, you know, Jezebel in chapter 9, and there's not much left of her after the dogs eat her flesh. Chapter 10, you know, he sends out a telegram or a postcard, hey, all you Baal worshippers, we're going to celebrate to Baal, so come to town, and he kills all them. So there's a lot of blood and gore in 2 Kings. chapter 12, Joash, and chapter 13, you know, more information about kings. The death of Elijah in chapter 13, he gets sick and dies. Chapter 14, more kings, 15 kings. It's interesting, there, you know, chapter 15, verses, at the end of, you know, 9, which he made Israel to sin. The king makes Israel sin. It's one thing for us to have sin, but it's another thing when he calls other people sin, especially when you're in a place of power, a father or a mother calls your kids to sin, or in this place it's kings or a president or a prime minister causing, or Supreme Court causing people to sin. When you start legalizing sin, you're causing all the people to sin, and God becomes angry with that. Chapter 16. You know, Ahaz, he began burning his son. So they end up beginning doing things. I mean, if you read chapter 17 also, and verse 7 says, "This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods and walked in the customs of the nation of the Lord, who drove out the people of Israel in the customs the people, kings of Israel had practiced. And so the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right." So they end up doing things that God had drove out before bringing them in. Now they're doing those very same things. And America is that same way. United States of America, we are a much more righteous nation in 1776 than we are in 2023. We are now causing the world to sin. We are now doing things that are worse, you know, worse than many other nations would even think about doing. And so God rounds up all of Israel except for the tribe of Judah and sends them into captivity. You know, in chapter 17. And then some, you know, there's a war going on, and at the beginning they're dwelling there, they did not fear the Lord, therefore the Lord sent lions among them. This is chapter 17. So then they were ready to learn, to be taught the fear of the Lord. You have to be taught the fear of the Lord. And it's interesting scripture here, chapter 17, verse 33. So they feared the Lord, but also served their own gods. So that's kind of real strange, you know, especially for us who are black and white. You know, you either fear God or you don't, you either love God or you don't. But it's reading through Kings, we find out that they love God just not with their whole heart. In this place, that they feared the Lord, but they also served other gods. And trying to think, you know, how would that happen? And the only thing I can reference is the New Testament talking about a judge who neither feared God nor man, kind of an atheist, you know. And so to him, he just didn't have any gods but himself. But there are people that believe there's a higher power. There are people that believe in multiple gods, and they're trying to please all their gods, and they're trying to do, what do I need to do to please this god, and so they're bowing down and serving other gods. So I think that's what it is. They had some fear of the Lord. They knew judgment could come from him, and so, but they worshipped other gods as well. And it's not going to go well for them when you do that. They're going to have only one God. Chapter 18, Hezekiah, very good king. He removed the high places. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made because people were worshiping it. So it was amazing that this hundreds of years, that this bronze serpent was still, you know, around. Hezekiah was a very good king, but he wasn't all that smart in some certain things. You know, there's a war going, getting ready to, you know, to go on. And so Hezekiah and all of them are afraid. And chapter 19, children have come to the point of birth and there is no strength to bring them forth. Have you ever been to that place that you're ready to, you know, you've been fighting a battle and you're almost there, but you don't know if you have strength to follow through to finish. So you find that in chapter 19. Hezekiah has a very long prayer in chapter 19. And also, God sends an angel that kills 185,000 people in a camp. It really was his war. It wasn't Hezekiah's war. You also find out about Nineveh. So remember Jonah, you have to go tell Nineveh to repent. He didn't want to go tell them to repent because he wanted God to judge them, destroy them, because they were highly wicked. But you'll find out just how merciful God is, no matter how, you know, wicked you are. Chapter 20, Hezekiah gets sick. So Isaiah goes in. Just none, you know, no big deal. Thus say the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Kings, many times when they got sick, they sent for a prophet. Am I going to recover? So Isaiah just kind of, hey, you're sick and you're not going to recover. But Hezekiah turned around to the wall, cried out to the Lord, and reminded the Lord, you know, that he was one of the good kings, so spare his life. And before Isaiah gets out of the house, he comes back and says, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. So they end up laying some figs on a boil. So I'm not quite sure what kind of sickness he had. But Hezekiah, you know, asked, how am I going to know this is true? I mean, I would think you just wait out and see. But anyway, he asked for a miracle. He asked for a sign from above. And Isaiah says, okay, we'll give you a miracle. God can, you know, I guess they're standing outside on some steps and the sun is going down or you know. And so, well, which one do you want to do? Do you want to see the shadow go up the steps or down the steps? And Hezekiah goes, well, if it's an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps, rather let the shadow go back up 10 steps. And that's exactly what happened. So, interesting. And then Hezekiah, after a great victory, victory, he gets some visitors from Babylon. He has an open house, shows them everything. Isaiah comes in and goes, who are these people and what did you show them? You have not done a good thing, Hezekiah. And if you know scripture, Babylon comes back later. And Isaiah prophesies to Hezekiah again, says your days are numbered, but it's not going to happen to your days, it's going to happen to your children's day. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. For he thought, why not if there would be peace and security in my days? So I guess he didn't care so much about his children or his grandchildren. And that's kind of like today with our debt ceiling. But anyway. And then his son did more evil than the nations had done before him. This is chapter 21, verse 9. But they did not listen and led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done before the Lord destroyed them before the people of Israel. And I really think America is there. We're teaching other nations, you know, to do worse than what they're doing. He shed much innocent blood. Chapter 21, verse 16. Chapter 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So he became a very good king, too. They find the book of the law. They read it. They find out how much sin they do have. That's why we need to read the Bible. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to separate spirit and soul and intent to the heart. And it shows us where we're wrong, you know, where we're wrong. We like to think that we're, you know, we're more good than bad. Well, my good outweighs my bad. But when you start reading scripture, you find out there's no good thing in the flesh. You start seeing your need to repent. And that's probably why people don't like to read the good book. They call it the good book as long as they don't have to read it. And so, Lord, you know, chapter 22, 19, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, and you heard how I spoke against this place. So God, you know, helps him out, Josiah, you know, but he's still angry. And in chapter 23, Josiah, I mean, really, really cleans house. He really drains a swamp. And Josiah restores a Passover, which really hadn't been done at least to this length, and says, and God's word over Josiah is, before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did anything like him rise after him. But still, verse 26, still the Lord did not turn from his burning of his great wrath, by which anger was kindled against Judah. And so we may have a Josiah, you know, moment, and it's just going to be a moment, just a brief moment here in the United States of America. But God, I don't believe God has turned away from his anger towards America, because said we are doing some horrible things that nations that they don't know the Lord, that we're doing worse than them. And so Megiddo is mentioned in here in chapter 23, if you know anything about end times. And then chapter 25, you find out that God finally sends Judah. So now he sent all his people. You know, the day Moses died, you know, God told Moses, everybody's going back to Egypt, and this is when it happened. Everybody was taken away from the promised land because they didn't love God. They didn't fully obey him, and they became more wicked than the people that were there before. So God sent them on their way. So that's 2 Kings. I hope you read it, 25 chapters. Lots of information and lots of stories. I don't know if you call them good or call them bad, but they're filled with things that we can know God. So God bless.